Recordings have been started. You may now begin.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. This is a CWG IANA meeting number 91 on 8th of September 2016 at 1400 UTC. I will now hand it off to Jonathan.
Thank you, Yuko. Hi, everyone. 91. I hope we get this job done in less than 100. Welcome. It may be that we can, as Jaap has said in the chat, it may be that we can get done with the work relatively quickly here. But we do need the work done, so let's concentrate on what we have to and see where we get to. I think you're well aware by now that the purpose of what we're doing is to try and ensure that the implementation being run by ICANN staff is consistent with their proposal, and that Sidley have been working quite substantially directly with ICANN in order to not involve the CWG and all of the minute details in and around the contracts and documents, but the substantive issues have been coming back to the CWG. And I think we've got a few of those to deal with now. In the last week, in the week since we last met, there's obviously been that NTIA letter to ICANN on the 31st of August, which actually that predated just our previous meeting now that I look at it, although I'm not sure it was published prior to our previous meeting, indicating that the transition is likely to go ahead, but that there was that there was a possibility of an extension, and you can look at that letter directly if you aren't already aware of it. The IANA IPR has also met on the 6th of September, and the work is progressing there, and we'll deal with that a little more in the appropriate section under the agenda. There was a so-called transition facilitation meeting, one that Buddy kicked off initially and has been hosted by ICANN, which really tries to bring all elements of the different groups working on the transition together. That's really more of a reporting and coordination forum. And then you would have seen the revised and hopefully very near final agreements that documents that, in particular, those that came out shortly before this call. And I apologize that some of you may not have had the opportunity because of different time zones to look at those. But everyone's been working hard to try and move things along. So here what we want to do is conclude the naming function agreement if possible. I'm not sure that we can conclude the services agreement, but we can certainly get an update on that and move ahead with the outstanding points on the IANA IPR. The naming function agreement public comment closes tomorrow, so that's the most urgent task, is to try and nail that down. And my understanding is that as of our last call a week ago, the outstanding point was paragraph 4.7, which we have, to the best of my understanding, more or less dealt with on list. So let's, before I move on to that key issues under number three, let's get a quick implementation update from staff. And I know some of the Sidley people can only be on for the first hour, so I think we'll get to that very shortly, that section of number three. So, Trang, if you're willing and available, perhaps you could give us a quick update to item two. I don't see anyone raising their hand. If you do have interim points or questions, please do feel free to raise your hand, and we'll come to you as soon as possible. In the meantime, I'll hand over to Trang for section two of the agenda.
Thank you, Jonathan. Hello, everyone. So what you see here, the Adobe Connect Room, is the slide that we've shown on the last couple of meetings that summarizes the remaining work that the CWG is undertaking. The first item is the naming functions agreement. And as you can see there, the first deadline for that document is the closing of the public comment period, which is this Friday. And then there is a ICANN board meeting scheduled for September 15th, and so we would need to finalize a staff report and get it posted prior to that board meeting, because this item is on the board's agenda for consideration and approval on the 15th. And then prior to September 30th, but after September 15th, the PTI board will need to meet and approve the agreement for signature as well. And then before September 30th, the agreement needs to be signed by both ICANN and PTI. As an update, as Jonathan noted earlier, a red line of the agreement was sent out to the CWG just a few hours ago, and that is a result of the discussions that Sidley and ICANN have had. As Jonathan noted, there's potentially a minor change to the language in Section 4.7 that we would discuss under Agenda Item Number 3. But from ICANN's perspective, we think that is in pretty good shape. On the services agreement, there is no public comment for that agreement, but there is it needs to go up to the ICANN board for approval, which, as previously mentioned, is September 15th. So by then, we just need to finalize that agreement by that date. And similar to the naming functions agreement, the PTI board will also need to approve the agreement, and then before September 30th, ICANN and PTI will have to sign it. A red line of the services agreement was also circulated by Sidley a few hours ago, and I think we're in good shape as well with this document. There are a couple of areas where ICANN is going to be drafting on language on. One is around the seconded employees, and another around the methodology for the cost development for the services that are in the agreement. So we have in principle agreed to these concepts with Sidley. We just need to get the language drafted and agreed to. And we're hoping to get that over to Sidley for review. I'm hoping to get the language for the methodology for the cost development today, and then the seconded employee language hopefully today or tomorrow as well. And as it relates to the ICANN IPR agreements, the public comment for those agreements closed on September 12th. All of the subsequent days, have not changed from the previous couple of meetings that we have. So in the interest of time, I will stop there. And, Jonathan, I'll turn it back to you and be happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Trying to sync, let's leave the slide up for a moment or two while we see if there are any questions or comments. And, in fact, absent any other content, let's leave it up there anyway. It's useful as a overall picture of the key issues and activities. So until we need to see other comments, just stop, but you just simply leave it up there. Any questions or comments for Trang before we move on to the next section of the agenda? Okay, thank you. So far, so good. Let's move on then. So you'll see that item 3, which is the key issues, components that need resolving or moving forward, most critically, as I said, in terms of timing at least, is the naming functions agreement. And that naming functions agreement, to remind you, our plan is to submit with a brief covering letter from the CWG co-chairs a cumulative red line and clean copy of our proposed changes to the agreement. I checked a few hours ago, and there were no other comments. So that's kind of interesting in and of itself, but it also means that our comment will have a pretty significant place in all of that. So we don't propose to write a detailed narrative on the agreement, but rather to submit a cumulative red line. And my recollection is that from our last meeting on September 1st, we resolved the outstanding issues in the table, save for item 4.7, and some language was proposed by Paul Kane, and then discussed amongst the CCs, and then further revised language was proposed, which I understand is acceptable to CCs and potentially acceptable to ICANN. So we may even have resolved this all offline. I don't know if anyone has any comments they'd like to make in relation to the language of 4.7. My understanding is that it's broadly settled by virtue of the discussion that's taken place on the CWG mailing list. Josh, please go ahead.
I don't know if she is on as well, but there have been some further conversation, or maybe Trang can speak to this, with perhaps the CCTLD representatives about making one final change in the naming function agreement regarding the particular, you know, portions of the bylaws that might be referenced for guidance around the whole Section 1.3 issue. Looks like
Trang published
something in the...
I missed you. Josh, I'm not sure if others missed you, but I missed your first portion of your remarks there. The audio didn't kick in for a brief moment. But as you now note, Trang has posted that ICANN is okay with the suggested language, which was posted by Paul earlier. So I think we have a common view of the wording for Section 4.7, and that is posted in the chat at this stage. Did you want to come back with anything, Josh?
No, I think that, I don't think we have any particular, Sidley doesn't have any particular objection or view on this. So if it's something that has been approved by CWG and I can working together, then just pass that along to us. We'll drop it into a final red line, Trang, that we can circulate with the draft comfort letter that we did send in the email, you know, late last night our time as well. So if you want to pull that up, Jonathan, or if you have any comment on that, we can close off the naming function section.
I think Josh and others, I think my understanding was that 4.7 was the outstanding point, and it appears that and Paul was driving that, or at least managing that, if you like, from this, coordinating it from the CC point of view, and ICANN is okay with that proposed language, and so it seems like we have something settled. Paul, did you want to comment? Come in.
Thank you very much. I'll be very brief. I think we've said everything. Yes, Josh, I'm pleased to say that it was just one further clarification that was needed, which has been done online, and that's really just to enforce ICANN's role specifically as defined within its bylaws, and the wording is simply as under ICANN's bylaws when referencing the supporting organization. So very minor, but I think it has been done, and I assume someone from CWD or ICANN staff will forward you the amended text, as I believe it's actually contained also within the chat session. So thank you all very much for that. We just need the CWG to ratify the amended language and then possibly close this whole work item and conclude the naming agreement. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. And then if Sidley could confirm that the before we go to that, just make sure, for the sake of good order, are there any other questions or comments on this naming function agreement? It's a sort of going-gone type thing, because we need to submit this within approximately the next 24 hours into the public comment. So any other concerns or questions around the naming functions agreement? And then we have a fairly standard form letter that is also in that bundle that was sent around to you earlier. As far as I recall, I'm just going to check that myself, that deals with the element of the not the letter of instruction, but the comment letter. And that communicates on behalf of the CWG using the chair. Thank you. No, this is not the one. This is the one. Thank you. So this is the letter that will go from the CWG, written, signed off by the co-chairs, essentially submitting this cumulative red line as our composite comment on the naming functions agreement. Okay, let's put that one to bed. I will, just for the sake of good order, review that with Lisa. I'm sure we're happy with the wording, but it's essentially a functional communication and the substance is in the red line document. So that should be okay. And with that, we'll close that item and move on to the services agreement. Now, the CWG hasn't been that intimately involved in the content of the services agreement. You heard from Trang earlier that the deadline, effective deadline for that is next week, a week from today, and that may not give us a chance to discuss it in a meeting, in a group meeting as such. I wonder if there's anything that either Sidley or ICANN would like to highlight from that, or if anyone in the group has any concerns or questions. This has largely been handled by Sidley and ICANN together with very light oversight, as far as I can see. We haven't waded in on any substantial points here, but then again, nor have any substantial points been raised with us. So any concerns, questions, or indeed comments, perhaps from Sidley or ICANN on the status of this agreement, other than what Trang said earlier? I mean, Trang highlighted the 2 points in terms of the outstanding areas of focus. The one was the secondment, and the other, Trang, you can remind me. But if Sidley would like to come in and make any remarks on that, your sort of level of satisfaction with that, that might give the group some comfort. Yes, go ahead, Josh.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yes, you know, so we have been working with ICANN staff. There also has been review, you know, some discussion of particular items in prior CWG conversations and on the thread. Chuck took it upon himself to coordinate DTO review at our request, and so there has been some input along the way and some revisions, and I think that from our perspective, there do not appear to be any sort of disagreements or open items that remain at this point that require further CWG input in order to settle those items. If there's anything that CWG members want to weigh in on or ask questions about, you know, by all means, they should do so. Except for those two items that Trang had noted that are still being closed out, I don't think that there is anything further, and we'd be prepared to, recommend approval by CWG of the services contract once those items are closed.
Thanks for that input, Josh. So then, Trang, as a point of process, ideally, we would formally sign this off at the next CWG meeting, but how does that correspond with the board meeting to follow either immediately or shortly afterwards or coincident with the next CWG meeting? If you could have a look at those timings, that would be helpful.
Just Jonathan, let me look into that. I am not certain. I need to look at the board meeting agenda to see exactly when the board meeting on Thursday would take place and how that corresponds to the timing of the CWG meeting. So give me a couple minutes to look into that.
For your information, I mean, CWG meeting is scheduled for 0600 UTC next week this time. And right now, it looks like it would be effectively to formally sign this offer, which we may be able to do, and not by another. I'd welcome suggestions from anyone. If they feel we can sign this off at this meeting, that's an efficient way of doing it, conditional on Sidley's sign-off. In fact, you know, I'm tempted to propose that to the group. Sam Eisner, I see your hand is up. Go ahead, Sam.
Hi, Jonathan. Worked into the chat as well, but the CWG meeting is about 6 to 8 hours before the ICANN board session is scheduled next week. Of course, we wouldn't have any objection if the CWG was willing to do a conditional sign-off today. I think that would make it much easier for confirmation in our board papers.
Thanks, Sam. That's good to know. So, you know, it strikes me that may be the way to go, is that the CWG should conditionally sign this off, subject to satisfaction of Sidley on the two outstanding items. But I know Matthew Shears has made a in the chat that he asked a question around the Section 3.3B, and I'm not familiar with that particular area. Is anyone able to respond to that or deal with it? Josh, your hand is up, I think, from previously, but you may well be able to respond to that, or someone else may be able to come in on that, Sam, or someone on that 3.3B. Sam, go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Matthew, for the question. The performance standards section in 3.3 should not have any implication for any of the communities in the way that the service is provided. This is it's really providing the cover that, first of all, you know, we need to perform to the standards that are given to us and the procedures that were established. You know, for the other communities, we're doing a subcontracting arrangement. They've had an opportunity to weigh in on this agreement as well if they wanted to. And then for the B part, just to clarify, because I think I know we had some conversation with Sidley on this, the section in B that says that we can terminate certain provisions of the services that are provided, these are talking about highly operational services. And this actually could be, for example, if ICANN elected to no longer have vision coverage as part of its benefits package, that ICANN would also, that would be a type of change that wouldn't have any impact on the security, stability, or resiliency of the domain name system. And ICANN is only obligated to provide the same services to those employees working with PTI that it provides to those employees who are working fully within ICANN. And so that would be the type of service that's able to be permitted. So we're not looking at the technical thing in terms of this termination of service, just to give you an example and to give the group some comfort about what we're trying to get to in that section.
Sam, and that's acknowledged from both Matthew and Cheryl Langnor in the chat. Good. Well, I propose to the group then that, subject to Sidley being satisfied with the additional work to be done, and we would expect a communication from Sidley to that effect, that the group signs off on the services agreement to save this being potentially the single item that we deal with at next week's meeting, or to just assist in the run-up to the board meeting. I may have passed over a question from Josh. Did I miss any questions? Please raise your hand if I did before we do that. And Paul Kane, I note your check mark for that approach, Cheryl. Thank you. I see Paul Kane, your hand is up. So Paul, why don't you come in with your comment next?
So I have to say I don't have any substantive comments on the services agreement. To be candid, I haven't had a chance to read it. And I'm not opposed to your particular suggestion, but may I just as a matter of process suggest that a certain time window for participants and members to raise any issues online, and then failing any comments of substance, then we progress to basically say that the agreement by default has been accepted, just that it does help things forward. And then we're not seen to be rushing things through, bearing in mind the document's only just recently been released. The other suggestion may be, would it be an idea to bring the CWG meeting forward 24 hours or so, just to formally ratify, and then we've done our job properly. But I'm relaxed on both. I don't think I will have any substantive comments on the service agreement. It was just about process. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Good and fair comments. I think just to make it clear, though, that we have seen various drafts of this going back to the sort of middle of last month. So this isn't it isn't that we've just seen this. But correct, it is in this version it is recent. So I accept your point. I think it's a very good one. So let's put a clock on this for comment and response. I'm wondering if midnight UTC, that feels about like 36 hours from now. We could do slightly longer, but I'm close of business Monday, Chuck suggests. That's fine by me as well. So let's look at midnight UTC Monday for any substantive comments or issues. And it may be that in that time, Sidley have even dealt with the outstanding matters with ICANN, given the sort of timetable that Trang talked about earlier. So thanks, Paul. Thanks, Chuck. I think that makes sense. So let's record that, please, that we will hold the services agreement open for comment or question from the CWG until midnight UTC Monday, at which point, if there are no comments or questions, we can consider it signed off, conditional on Sidley's sign off on the outstanding points, or we'll need to resolve any matters that come up in that interim period. Okay. Thanks for your contributions there, everyone. That's useful, and that moves us on with respect to the services agreement. The next issue is the IANA IPR, which we have a form of a letter of instruction to ICANN, and we have had a meeting with the IPR, the multiple operation community IPR groups, in the meantime, on the 6th of September. So there's a draft letter up in front of you. I wouldn't mind either Greg or Josh reminding the group where we stand in terms of the content of this, because there was some recent discussion on the list, including very recently prior to the call, but I think it was then recognized that actually the desired changes have actually been made. So I believe this is current and satisfactory, but it would be useful if Greg or Josh, we could hear from you on the status of this, or anyone else, frankly, Chuck or someone else who's been tracking it closely. But I think we're in reasonable state here. So any volunteers? Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Greg. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
it's a little bit about like you made it. Okay. I'll speak briefly, and then maybe Josh can fill in as well. I think the letter of instruction now at this point is actually fairly straightforward, and tracks the community agreement, and basically, paragraph. The key items are that the CWG will act for the names community. First, that this is appointing ICANN or requesting that ICANN sign the community agreement, and that the CWG will be kind of the point of contact on behalf of the names community in dealing with ICANN as the signatory, and will appoint the initial CCG members and the including the co-chair, the co-chair will take most of the actions required on behalf of the names community thereafter. I think there are some questions that really kind of revolve around the issue of whether we need approval from the chartering organizations, and what level of approval that might need. So rather than and it seems, I think, that there are some tweaks that have been suggested by Elise and by Chuck in particular that will kind of make things seem a little less, that will make it clear that we're not signing, or that rather Jonathan and Lisa as chairs are not signing on behalf of the chartering organizations per se, but are in essence kind of signing for the Maine's community. So I think we'll need to make some revisions here. They're, you know, clearly not made, having, you know, been made, you know, suggestions were made, as Jonathan said, very recently. But I think that we can essentially remove the language that's in the letter that would, you know, require kind of express approval and formal approval by each of the chartering organizations, which would take more time than we have and require more bandwidth than it frankly deserves. And basically, you know, make it clear that there's kind of sufficient, it's sufficiently within the remit of the CBG to instruct ICANN to sign this community agreement, you know, make it clear, obviously, that we have representatives from the chartering organizations here, you know, particularly as members, and that, you know, that's kind of how this is flowing. Other than that issue, you know, which is critical, but in a sense more a matter of procedure than substance, I think the rest of it is fairly straightforward. I'll turn to Josh now and see what comments he may have, and you know, we'll look forward to kind of, you know, wordsmithing based on the suggestions on the list. And working with Sidley to make sure that we have enough authority built into this agreement, that it's into this letter, so that it works, but not so much authority that it would require a whole bunch of express actions by each chartering organization. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I see that just to help you and Josh, there was some dialogue in the chat by me recognizing that concerns have been expressed, and then I thought they had been resolved, and Chuck says that having looked at the most recent red line, they may be resolved. So I just, it would be useful to confirm that in and around that point you made. So Josh, I'm not sure how much of that was clear to you, acknowledging that you are not on the list, but feel free to come in and then we can take it from there.
Thanks, Jonathan. I mean, I understood from Greg did forward me last night some of the exchange that had taken place. I haven't seen anything that would have happened this morning, but there was some question about whether or not the particular chartering organizations needed to, you know, affirm or you know, ratify this and instruct CWG prior to signing. What we did, sort of thinking about that, what we did to try to address that issue is to state that, and remove some of that time pressure, was to put in language in the last draft that we did circulate, showing some of those changes on top of what Greg had made, that basically said that CWG would be acting on behalf of the chartering organizations that, you know, have affirmed or thereafter affirmed, so we're subsequently affirm in writing that they agree to be included in the names community. So in that way, they would be a going back to those communities and getting their, you know, in effect getting their buy-in, but it wouldn't be something that needs to be done prior to this agreement being executed. Part of this letter, I should say, being executed.
Thanks, Josh. That seems practical, and I can see that that's covered in the text here. As Chuck said, it may be helpful if staff could post the red line version of this, if it's available, to just to see that change and how that change has been accommodated. But in essence, what we will do is assume the authority to sign and effectively, I think, give the chartering organizations the opportunity to buy into that or walk away from being part of the names community, which one wouldn't expect that to be the case, but at least you cover for that possibility. And I guess the key change here is that in paragraph one, after the brackets containing GAC, where it says that have affirmed or hereafter affirm in writing that they agree to be included herein, each a consenting SO or AC and collectively the names community. So, Josh, can you confirm that's a change you made more most recently and that's effectively dealing with that issue in the way that you described?
Correct. That is.
That's helpful. Elise Lindenberg, I see you there. Hopefully, Elise, and I'm sure if George is here. George is also here. Hopefully that does, with that explanation, it satisfies your concerns that were raised on list. In that we can proceed this and then communicate it back to the chartering organizations and ideally as a matter of form and formality obtain that subsequent affirmation. As far as I can tell, and I hope I didn't miss something, please remind me if I... Okay, so Elise is still worried about the use of the word on behalf of. Let's have a look there at that point. Send the request to develop.
The on behalf of language applies only with respect to those chartering organizations that do affirm their agreement, either now or subsequent. So the CWG wouldn't be providing this instruction on behalf of a chartering organization that did not affirm.
So looking at the chat, I mean, you see Sharon saying that no SOAC is bound by this until they agree to be. So the GAC or any other SOAC could agree later. But then George suggests that perhaps we should separate the CWG authority from endorsements of the chartering organizations in two sentences. Because it was clear... Any other thoughts or comments? As Josh said, I mean, I think that this is a legal point. It's the legal terminology, which is that is only binding with respect that such SOs or ACs affirm now or later. Go ahead, Greg.
Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. It's Greg. And maybe this is more of a question for Sidley than a statement, but I think it's certainly okay if some of the SOACs affirm afterwards, essentially confirmatory affirmation or whatever. But what it seems to me it would be a little awkward if none of the SOACs confirmed that they agreed with this before it went out, or it, in whatever way that they would need to, so that we would feel that we are acting on behalf of the chartering organization. On the other hand, I think the CWG acting solely, you know, for the CWG and not for the chartering organization, to my mind, is a little bit kind of stretching our remit to say that, you know, that we represent the Mames community. May not be stretching it too much, but kind of divorcing the idea that this is ultimately, you know, the representation of the community that's taking place. So there's, apologize for not being more focused, but trying to see what path forward we have, you know, one of which might be having the, at least some organizations, those that might be able to act with a little bit more speed, affirm this more quickly, and then the rest can catch up. Consider that it took probably 3 months for all of the chartering organizations, in fact, to become chartering organizations in the first place. It's not, it's certainly not unheard of. The alternative is to look at whether we, the CWG, can essentially take on the mantle without saying that we're doing it on behalf of the chartering organizations and still feel confident that we're, you know, speaking for the Mames community as such. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I'll let Josh respond and then see if anyone else has comments. I mean, I tend to think a little like George. I see George's comment where he says, if you see there's an implementation issue of CWG recommendations, the CWG does indeed have an authority of its own. The supplemental endorsements from the chartering organization would give it supplemental strength. So that's currently where I'm thinking. I'd like to hear from Josh, but my feeling is it may be better to divorce the endorsements from giving this. It feels almost cleaner that the CWG simply makes the instruction, communicates to the chartering organizations, and ideally seeks their affirmation, but that may not be a necessary condition for conferring the signing authority. Josh, what are your thoughts, or where were you coming from on this?
Thanks, Jonathan. So part of this, the way it was structured, was because we do have to define the Mames community for the community agreement, so that the IETF Trust, which is a counterparty to that agreement, knows, you know, sort of who it has to go back to look for instruction regarding the you know, action to be taken, the limited action, but action to be taken under the community agreement. So there, one way or the other, there needs to be a sort of a coming together and some consensus reached on what that Mames community should be. So I agree with Greg that it does create, there's the potential for some limbo period in a way if no SORAC agrees to come on to this, you know, to undertake this role and have their chairs undertake this role. Then I think the stakeholders would have to reconsider who they're going to have be that Mames community. So it might be helpful to hustle around a little bit and get confirmation that, you know, there is at least one that is affirmed and willing to do that. Otherwise, I still think we sort of loop back into the same problem of not adequately defining the Mames community. I mean, we could write it that this letter comes from the CWG, and then in the subparagraph 2 below, which talks about once the CWG dissolves, the Mames community will be, you know, right now it will be comprised of, or will be represented by, the chairs of the SOs and ACs that do consent to take on that role. We could just state that language there, but I guess at that point we've left again the question of who the Mames community is. So I think I might I think Sidley could support it either way, but, you know, I think I have a slight preference for stating it the way that we've set it up right now, because it does push people in the direction and towards the understanding that the SOs and ACs need to consider this issue and designate their chairs to be the representative for purposes of the names community definition. And so that if that doesn't happen, then the parties need to sort of rethink what that names community would be, and perhaps go in and amend the community agreement later as well.
Okay, let's hear from Alan and then Sam and see if we can start to draw some threads out of this then, as well as put some in the chat. So go ahead. Greg, I don't know if that's the hand. I think that was your previous hand up, so I'm going to go to Alan and then either remove your – yeah, okay, great. Thanks, Greg. So, Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. Could I have Sam go ahead? Because in the chat she was making another suggestion, and it may be more relevant to have her go first, and then I'll come in.
Alan, please go ahead, Sam.
Thanks, everyone. This is Sam Eichner from ICANN Legal. I see that this is a complex issue, and clearly you guys have put a lot of thought into this and are still working through it. I wanted to throw out a different suggestion that might give the community time to focus on more about how the CCG reps will be appointed and how the community wants to work through their role in the community agreement on the IPR side. And maybe I offer that ICANN, we have some sort of note from the CWG asking, you know, some sort of official record. The CWG has requested that ICANN serve as at least the initial signatory to the agreement on behalf of, as an implementation item. And then ICANN could send back a note to confirm that ICANN would be willing to serve in this role, and that ICANN would commit that any direction, anything that requires discretion in acting within the community agreement role, ICANN would wait for direction from the community. And then that would still give the community time to figure out what that means and how you're going to come together with identifying a representative, et cetera. And that way we don't have to spend, or maybe you don't have to spend the time to perfect this letter, but we could just have a papered commitment from ICANN to wait for your direction, and then you have the time to move forward. I just want to offer that as an alternative that might be a simpler path.
And that's a creative alternative that they wish to fall back on. My personal only reluctance to that is that we may be 95% of the way forward, and if we can close off on where we are, that could be useful to put this to bed rather than leaving it as an open item that still needs going forward. But I accept this could provide a relief valve if we can't find a solution. So let's see what others say. And Alan, you deferred to Sam, so you go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I clearly am not empowered to speak on behalf of what the ALAC will decide, but I cannot imagine a scenario where we would not ultimately agree that the chairs and I would add, or their delegates, because there's always the issue of whether the chair should be the point person or someone else, should act on it. We started this whole process by the chartering organizations creating the CWG to draft, for their approval, admittedly, a proposal on behalf of the names community. We have tacitly agreed that the CWG has that responsibility, but admittedly with their ratification. But it's clear the CWG and thus the chartering organizations, but de facto do represent the names community, or because otherwise there is no basis for us to have made that original decision, no basis for the NTIA to have accepted, for the ICG and NTIA to have accepted it. So I think we're on good ground now. I think we can presume there will be ratification of anything reasonable, or if not, we can change the document at that point. So I'm not going to opt for, you know, which version of the words we use, but I think anything reasonable at this point, given the need to proceed quickly, is going to be acceptable by the significant number of this of the chartering organizations, or we can change, after the fact, change the terminology. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I think that's reasonably consistent with at least where I would see our mandate, and we've got to be careful not to stretch that. But at the same time, as you rightly point out, we were tasked with preparing a proposal, and this is a critical implementation detail of the final outcome of that proposal. Sharon's made a constructive suggestion in the chat that we could modify on behalf of for the benefit or at the request of, and Chuck has put a note of support for the benefit of. I like that because it certainly seems to, at face value, get around the concerns of Elise and others, but I'll let them speak for themselves. Yeah, and Elise puts in the chat some support for the use of for the benefit of, as does Megan and Sabine and others. So it looks like that might provide us with a wording that people feel comfortable with. So it strikes me that if we use for the benefit of, as suggested by Sharon, and we indicate that, and we continue with the language that says that have affirmed or hereafter affirm in writing, creates opportunities for the chartering organizations to come quickly on board or to have the requisite time, it does seem to provide us with the way forward. What I would suggest we do, and I think we capture this as an action, as soon as this letter is settled, that we communicate the form of the letter to the chartering organizations and seek that they do affirm in writing their support for the plan. Josh, please come in.
So, Jonathan, I just wanted to come in with one related item. This seems to have been settled, but on the, you know, the public comment period on the IETF trust, or so the IPR license agreement and the community agreement itself, comes to a close, I think Wednesday or Thursday next week. There on the IPR sort of working group calls, there had been a suggestion that the, because just as with the naming functions agreement, there's been continued sort of work that has been done on those documents since they were posted for public comment. There have been continued revisions that have been worked out by the IETF Trust, the various operational communities, and ICANN. And we had suggested that the Trust follow a similar path to what is being done here, in that they post red lines of those documents at the end of the comment period and explain that the subsequent changes have been the result of further discussion and you know, exchange of ideas, etc. I think they do plan to do that, and I just wanted to confirm with this group and that or make sure that is sufficient for CWG, or does CWG also feel that it needs to do you know, a similar posting on behalf of the CWG community and stayed like we've done with the naming functions agreement, perhaps on its own, post that red lines and say that these are part of those negotiations, or can it rely on that IETF trust posting of those documents? I just wanted to put that out there so that it can be discussed. Sharon can, I'm going to have to drop off this call for another meeting, but can check the chats and discussion to see what sort of follow-up we need. Or Sharon is on the call as well.
Thanks. I'll accept the baton pass, Sharon, and note that point. So just, I'm going to put that in a slightly different way. There have been these regular IPR-related meetings. Our group, the CWG, has three representatives on that group, in that group, and that's Lisa, for myself, and Greg Shatton. The three of us have been working together with Sidley to represent our interests, also naming community interests in that whole structure, in negotiating and dealing with the agreement of the IETF Trust. The IETF Trust has nominally held the pen, so to speak, and as those discussions have continued since the document was up for public comment, further red lines have been developed. Now, and so what is going to happen is, what's proposed to happen is that a red line, as Josh said, it will be posted with collectively agreed cumulative edits as the public comment on behalf of the various parties. I have a feeling that's enough, and Josh is right to ask the question, does the CWG want to do anything else? And so that's the question, really. Is there anything else that needs to be done? I'll pause there to see if anyone does have any comment or suggestion. So it's either a point of information, this is what will happen, and it will happen pending no other comment or input from the CWG. But if anyone has any comment or concern about that, please feel free to raise it. Okay, so absent that comment, that is what will happen, that's the process that will take place. You will see that the public comment on the community agreement will be effectively updated by virtue of a cumulative red line that's been discussed whilst it's been up for public comment, and that will influence the final output. We could certainly circulate that red line to this group if we haven't already done so. Now, the final outstanding point is clearly these names community reps, and we haven't really dealt with this as and thanks, Sean, for your comment in support of that process, just to go back to that. As far as I can see, we have neither dealt with any suggested reps or a process to appoint at least the interim reps and the CCG names co-chair. My understanding of this role is it's not a particularly functional role. In a sense, it's almost a symbolic role. It's a requirement to manage the instructions if and when instructions need to be made. So this is not a particularly taxing or demanding role. I wouldn't mind some discussion or suggestions. I could put a straw man out to you. I was trying to think this through, and the one straw man possibility is that we use the three reps that have been on this IPR group, which is myself, Lisa, and Greg, to do this to be the interim reps until such time as the naming community decides to appoint different reps and a different co-chair. The one concern I could see with that is you end up with a GNSO, a CCNSO, and in effect, what some might see as a second GNSO person. I personally don't feel like there's a lot of scope for bias or concern here, but others may have. So I'll put that to you as a straw man. I don't know if anyone has any other suggestions for mechanism or individuals or how we might get to this point of appointing some interim reps. Feels to me like we need to do something relatively soon. And to be clear, this is my own idea. I haven't communicated this even with socialized this with Greg and Lisa. I was just trying to think in advance of this call what the options might be. Any suggestions, comments on either how we might get to some interim reps for the name community to populate these square brackets? And also, I wouldn't mind a reminder as to when the deadline for that is. So if someone could provide a reminder in the chat as to when the deadline for when we require these, and then let's hear from any others on comments on these. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. Is it possible that we name the reps and then say, similar to the wording in the agreement here, that they will take direction from the chairs of the chartering organizations by, you know, decisions by consensus? Then we remove, to a large extent, the worry about who they are. That is, they agree to act in that way. someone is speaking, I can't hear them.
Hi, Alan. Sorry, I lost connection for a moment. I had a blip in the connection. Apologies to you and others. I would love someone to comment on that, but my understanding is that that is already covered in that the reps do take direction from either CWG or the co-chairs. So Greg puts his hand up. Let's go to Greg on that point.
It's Greg again for the record. First, I would say that I'm flattered and offer my own condolences to myself and to Jonathan and Lisa as well. And I would be willing to serve, and clearly would be doing so only under the direction of James Kennedy, you know, that's the CWG or the chartering organization chairs. And the way that we generally formulated this under the letter of instruction is that the CWG would act in that capacity, the directing capacity, until it failed to exist, and then thereafter the chairs or their delegees would act to instruct the representatives. I don't think that needs to be dealt with in that detail in this letter, which is in a letter of instruction to ICAM. I think that there could be a brief letter of appointment, if you will, which makes it clear that they're serving solely in a representative capacity and an as-directed capacity, and not implicitly. Don't have a broad-ranging brief to do so. And I think similar to where we're dealing with the letter of instruction, we can kind of structure this now, and then as we get the approval of the SOACs for the letter, we also have them approve this setup. In terms of a deadline, since we're putting these names in the letter and the letter needs to go to ICANN in time for ICANN to essentially accept the responsibility and sign, I think that needs to be in front of them for the board meeting. I'll let Sam speak to the exact timing by which everything has to get funneled into the board, so that everything, all the bits and pieces that need to be approved are approved. So unless we take the names out of the letter, which I think is probably better to have them in, that's the timing is driven kind of by the approval process. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg.
A little bit of discussion.
Somebody is noisily typing.
I think that was Greg's mic coming out, Alan. So there's a little bit of discussion on the chat around the fact that the co-chairs already interim board appointees for PTI, and that it's maybe too much for their task list. The reason I proposed it was that it was more, it didn't seem to me like this is a significant task, and I may be misunderstanding. And then Chuck has suggested that we propose this to the list and also in any event that this would require a co-chair to be chosen from the three as well. So look, I think Alan wanted to come in and any other comments would be welcome, but I think that's a good point. I certainly wouldn't want to push it any further than this. It was, as I said, a straw man suggestion, so I think it would be great if someone independent of myself could put that as a straw man suggestion to the list, not to manipulate things, but I just think it's appropriate that someone else who is supportive of that as a possibility, at least, and we get a thread going on how we get these three representatives going as soon as possible. Let's hear from Alan and then Paul Kane. So Alan, go ahead. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. I was going to suggest that we say this is as an interim appointment, but since it is all contingent on the CWG existing, and Lord help us, I hope it's going to cease to exist someday soon, for either because of the transition happening or it doesn't happen right now, and we, whatever. The point I was making really was not that are these people going to take direction, but we probably need to put as a prerequisite for their being named that they sign an agreement saying they will take direction. That was the main thrust of what I was saying. Other than that, I have no problem with this.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Let's go on to Paul Kane.
So thank you, Jonathan. And I don't think I have a big issue with any of this, but I am reading in the chat Sean's point. And can you hear me? No? Hello, can you hear me? There we are. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hallelujah. So I'm just really picking up on the chat that Sean has been entering, and
I'm not hearing Paul. I suspect others may not be. We might be hearing him on telephone, but not AC audio. Sure.
Okay.
I'm on the phone, and I can hear Paul.
Okay, let me just put my point out, and then I'll. All I'm saying is.
So just go ahead.
Yep.
Great. Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you, Jonathan, for. For the proposal. I don't have a strong view, but I am reading in the chat Sean's point, and I think that is quite valid in that it's one of optics. I'm delighted that you are willing to stand as interim PTI board member, you and Lisa, of course, but bearing in mind this is a job that, one, is only interim, and two, I sincerely hope it doesn't involve too much of anyone's time. I do think it would be sensible just to touch base with the chartering organizations as to who, if they have another candidate, if they want to progress anything. But do make the suggestion that you're willing to stand if you think appropriate. I'm very wary of Sean's point, and it's just optics. That's all. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. I think it's a good, as I said, I put it, you know, the concern that Sean raised about any perceived conflict of interest or otherwise. So it seems this is something we do need to work on. Bear in mind that there are, one of the challenges we have here is that there are three reps and more than three chartering organizations. So that's another issue. It's I think there was some discussion on this previously which suggested perhaps CCNSO, GNSO, and another. So we do need to get this going and work on it. So I'm wondering whether we've reached the natural point in this discussion where we can't take it much further. But let's hear from Greg, whose hand is still up. So, Greg, go ahead if you have a new point to make.
Thanks. It's Greg, and I did think about, you know, Sean's point. Was about to agree with it and then decided I'd. Don't think it's an issue, at least not an issue other than potentially optical, because Jonathan and Lisa are serving as independent directors on the PTI board and really as representatives of the NAMES community in doing so, and so are really there as watchers as well. So it's really, in a sense, more of the same. To be a kind of watchers of the IETF trust, and again, really of the actions of ICANN and IANA PTI in doing so. So I don't think it poses an actual conflict, and if it's as long as it's clearly understood that they're functioning here in their NAMES community tasks, and it's not like having say. The head of PTI, the president of PTI, also somehow serving as a names community rep, that would be a little peculiar. But I don't think this is peculiar at all. That said, if there are more volunteers out there, can do that. But this is interim, and as soon as the dust settles, there probably can and should be a more regularized process for selecting these representatives who normally serve one-year terms but can be removed and replaced, and a way for advising them, and maybe even without getting too baroque about it, some form of a rotation or a presumptive rotation among the different chartering organizations, so that it isn't, always, the same chartering organizations appearing a majority of the time, unless that's where all the interest is and there are no other nominees, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that for the purpose and for the moment, this should be sufficient and optically appropriate as well. Thanks.
Greg and Chuck make Thanks. Okay, so look, that's clearly stimulated a bit of discussion, a bit of thinking about the optics, the conflict of interest issues, and the various other points. And Chuck rightly points out that we do need to finalize this letter. Now, my understanding in opening this discussion was that the letter was essentially finalized, save for the discussion on those members. So if I've misunderstood that or have anything incorrect, please let me know. But I understood on the basis of the earlier discussion that we had essentially finalized the letter, where we modified the wording as suggested by Sharon. We took the other wording in the recent red line, which you see in front of you, and that in composite we had a final the letter. So if I've missed something, let me know. And save for that, which I propose we draw a line under once we've heard from Alan, we now need a thread based on this straw man proposal, this discussion that we've had here. We need a thread to try and work out how we determine the interim names, but that shouldn't stop us finalizing the letter as per Chuck's point. Alan, your hand is up. Go ahead, Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. May I suggest that we can fix the problem of the optics by changing paragraph 2, and I'm not going to try to wordsmith it here, to say that these appointments are as long as the CWG exists or until the chairs of the charting organizations decide by consensus that these people should be replaced. That says it can happen almost immediately if the chairs don't like these appointments, but it gives us three names to put in the document. The CWG conceivably, we thought the CWG was going to dissolve itself well over a year ago at this point. It didn't. So let's not assume it will dissolve immediately, but give the chairs the ability to replace them even if the CWG continues to exist.
To be clear, I mean, the paragraph above that already says the process electing the CCG representatives and CCG names chair will be determined by the names committee. So the chairs can do that in any event.
I understand, but the next paragraph says until in the event the CWG no longer exists, and I'm just saying that should not be the only trigger point which can say it. As I said, I'm satisfied with this, but if we are worried that there may be an optics issue, then give the chairs the ability to do it much, much quicker. You know, we meet in Hyderabad and we come to a conclusion it should be three other people, it's done.
I still think that we haven't got a clear direction to appoint this. I wouldn't mind hearing from Sidley that you you don't need any more direction on the content for the letter, save for this issue around the initial representatives. I'm not sure it's appropriate to force a conclusion at this stage. It seems to me like we need a little more discussion on that. And as Greg says, the paragraph doesn't appear to limit the removal of reps. Sharon, let's give you an opportunity to comment if you'd like to on, you know, if you've heard the discussion and the concerns here. We don't have an agreement on initial names. We have some concern that if we do put the initial names, whomever they might be, that they need to be replaceable at relatively easily. Do you think you've got enough to finalize the letter, say, for placing the names in there?
Thanks, Jonathan. Yes, I think we do. I think the only change would be if there's no ability to name the three people now, then we would have to change that paragraph. But assuming we can name those three, and if we want to add some additional language at Alan's suggestion of just making it clear that they're initial and that they can be replaced, I think that works fine.
Okay, so Sharon, thank you. What I've heard is some discomfort with my straw man suggestion of the names, but I have heard some argument for retaining named. It seems to be that we do need to have named individuals if at all possible. It's problematic if we don't. So I suggest we take this onto the list, run the discussion, and try and find a way to agree on how we might produce some named individuals, either through volunteers or other mechanisms, and we work on that on list at this stage. Okay, well, I think that's as far as we can take this right now. We have agreement on the substance of the letter. We're missing the names. We need to discuss that and any issues that arise out of any suggested names, and we'll have to deal with this on the mailing list, and then, if necessary, pick it up at our next call. Sharon and Greg, or Sharon, could you just sort of articulate that last point in the chat just to make sure that I and we understand that one?
Sure. I think what Greg was saying in the chat is that this is really more of an internal matter. The letter, this letter is direction from the names community to ICANN. So how the names community wants to be able to swap out their representatives is really, I think what Greg is saying, more of an internal matter. And so if people agree with that, then I was saying that perhaps that would be something that could be covered in whatever letter of direction the three individual representatives would sign, which would be a simple letter that would say, you know, we will, you know, serve at the request of the community and take direction from the community, and will resign upon the request of the community, or something like that.
Feels to me that's a good point, and I think I agree with that. I think what would be useful then, Sharon, is to put alongside this letter that just to make up that draft. I think that would be very helpful, because then it's quite clear that those two go hand in hand. There's this letter to ICANN, and there's this proposed letter that of appointment, if you like, of the CCG reps, which would then give others the comfort that perhaps that where the direction is being given, and that these reps can be removed at the discretion of the names community. So for the sake of good order, I think that draws a line under this point, and really formally, at least, we should make that instruction via the client committee that we ask. That's a good point. So there's a qualifier there from Sharon that the co-chair should be someone who knows IP rights well. I mean, I didn't go so far in my straw man proposal, but what I had envisaged, in fact, was in thinking it through, was Lisa, myself, and Greg Shatton as the co-chair. So that I didn't articulate that in my straw man proposal, but that was what I had thought, and that would be consistent with someone knowing IP rights well. But let me not push that point any further. I think the key is that we ask Sidley to draft a letter of appointment of the CCG reps, which makes it clear the limits and how they take instruction, let's put that in under the number four for the client committee to make sure that goes through the client committee for due process. Greg highlights that ideally that should be in the instruction letter, since the co-chair has particular responsibilities. Why in the instruction letter? Surely that's in the appointment letter. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Greg Chatton again. The reason it should be in the instruction letter is because ICANN needs to know who the chair is, because the chair, by the way the community agreement is set up, the chair is entitled to speak for their community and to give direction on behalf of the community, but needs to expressly state that this is coming from that community. The other two representatives don't have that particular power, if you will. And so the idea is that the ICANN needs to be aware of who is the co-chair so that it can rely on the capacity of that particular individual speaking in their capacity and expressly stating that they are for the community. And, you know, obviously this would be at the direction of the community, and the letter of appointment could indicate that the chair, you know, can only say that he's speaking at the direction, or she can only say it's speaking at the direction of the community, if in fact that direction has been given. But as for ICANN has to know who is speaking as chair. Thanks.
Darren, and you said it should be an instruction letter. I think what you mean is it should be identified in the co-chair. The co-chair should be identified in the instruction letter, not that it should be someone who knows IP rights. That's not necessary, as I understand it, to be identified in the instruction letter. And therefore, that the instruction letter as it currently stands is adequate. Yeah, it's the sequencing on the chat that threw me there, Greg. Okay, so I think just in case anyone else was confused by that, the instruction letter as it stands is substantially complete, apart from a couple of minor modifications, a minor modification agreed today. We will ask Sidley to assist with appointment letters, and we will pick up on our email list the discussion in and around the prospective appointees and their backgrounds, qualifications, and any issues around conflict of interest. All right, I think that deals with the the meeting, and I will now move us on then to any other business and see if anyone has anything else that they need to raise in relation to the work of the CWG and the implementation work being undertaken by ICANN. And I see a hand up from Chuck Gunn, so I'll defer to Chuck. Go ahead, Chuck.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. I just want to raise the issue of the independent review process that the accountability CCWG is working on. It's been my understanding that we in the CWG expected that work to be completed before the transition happens. Information I have seen is that that's not going to happen, not all of it, before the end of the month or by the end of the month. But my understanding is also that the essential elements of that will be finalized by the end of the month, and that the things that need to be finalized after the transition, assuming it happens on target, can be completed afterwards. I just wanted to make sure, first of all, test my own understanding and make sure all of us in the CWG are on the same page in that regard. So, again, I've had some conversations with key people in the CCWG, and I think it's pretty clear that all of the tasks won't be done before the transition, but I personally have been assured that those elements that are essential will be done in time. So I'm communicating that. If people have different understanding, I welcome that. But I thought we should, because I think we were targeting in the CWG that it would all be done in time for the transition. I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's realistic because of public comments needed and things like that. But I am confident that the essential tasks will be done in time. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. Good point. Any comments or responses to that that set of points raised by Chuck around the independent review? Anyone anyone able to provide any better insight or understanding of where that is? Anyone from staff working on the implementation? Okay, so Trang confirms in the chat that the process is captured in the bylaws and that the IRP will be functional at the time of the transition, assuming it takes place on 30th of September 2016. Chuck, I'm going to assume that's your hand from previously and go to Avery. Yeah, go ahead, Avery.
This is Avery speaking, and perhaps with a little trepidation, but I'm a member of the group that's working on that, and I believe that what Chuck says corresponds to the case. The bylaws, the essential mechanisms, for how the IRP works will be done. We've got three pending issues that we're bringing to the CCWG in the next week, and I don't exactly remember when, but basically. There are other things like how these new panels get instantiated and the processes that we go through between the staff and the communities in terms of putting in names and having names selected. Some of that is still to be discussed further, but there is an empaneling in place in this proposal. It's just that some of those, but the essential parts of the appeals mechanisms will be done and in. And hopefully other people from that group who are also here will correct me. I'm not the leader of the group. I'm just one of the least legally knowledgeable people on the group. Thank you.
Chuck, for the question, and Trang and Avery for your input. I hope that's sufficient to set your mind at rest for now, Chuck, but it does sound like we've got to keep an eye on that over the next week or two. All right. Any other points or issues required? I guess we can take an action to monitor the development of the IRP. Thank you. Okay, good. Well, it looks like we might have wrapped things up 30 minutes ahead of the full two-hour schedule. That's useful. Thanks, everyone, for a productive meeting. It should be pretty clear from the notes what we need to do next, and I think that's useful. We've knocked off a couple more of the big-ish items that need to be dealt with. Talk to you on the email, and of course, likely at the not so friendly, at least as far as the West Coast of the USA and possibly East Coast is concerned, at our meeting at 0600 UTC in 1 week's time. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.